وسلم was softer than the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So soft his palms were. I haven't touched any silk that was even softer than the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا شَمَمْتُ رَائِحَةً قَطُّ أَطْيَبَ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I haven't smelt any fragrance more fragrant than the smell emitting from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we mentioned Qadi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi, you'd say that a person who would meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make musafaha with him, for the whole day his hand would be smelling so beautiful just by touching the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, وَلَقَدْ خَدِمْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. And I served Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years. And then he says, فَمَا قَالَ لِي قَدْتُ أُفْ. He didn't tell me one time also, أُفْ. أُفْ, he said, is one of the lightest words a person can tell anybody. Quran also mentions that don't even tell your parents these words. So he said, he never even told me one time also, أُفْ, that. Why? وَلَا قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ فَعَلْتُهُ لِمَا فَعَلْتَهُ. He didn't show any type of disapproval. I was a young boy in his khidmat, but he didn't show any. He could have reprimanded me, scolded me, warned me, but he didn't show. He just displayed beautiful akhlaq. And he didn't ever tell me, وَلَا قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ. He didn't tell me لِشَيْءٍ فَعَلْتُهُ, anything wrong that I did. He didn't tell me لِمَا فَعَلْتَهُ, why did you do this? This was a wrong thing. You didn't ask him, why did you do this? وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْعَلُهُ. Nor did he ask me something that I didn't do. I should have done it, I didn't do, I left it out. Nor did he ask me, أَلَا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا, why did you not do this? So he didn't reproach me in any way by asking me, why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do this? This was the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that we need to bring in our lives. Because once akhlaq is there, then automatically people get won over. The person has got this beautiful character in his life. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi, is kisi ko takleef mat dena. Don't give anybody any type of inconvenience. Be careful how you park, where you park. A person comes into the masjid, be careful where you read your sunnah. If you're right by the door, now people want to go out and have to wait for you to finish your salah. Or if you're coming in the masjid and you see some dirt on the floor, you don't leave it for the next person, you think that I need to pick it up. Like that, a person is at home in the family, with the family, they also, he displays akhlaq, he sees what needs to be done. Then on his own he does it, he doesn't wait now for the last minute, and then when there's a problem, he says, oh, I should have done this. But a person is careful at the business place, at the workplace also, he's very careful that whatever I do, I mustn't inconvenience anybody. I got staff here, I mustn't treat them badly. Or when a person is working for somebody, he doesn't abuse the telephone he's got. He doesn't abuse the things that he's got, the privileges that he's given to. Because he knows if I abuse it, then I'll make it more difficult for all the other staff. Now the boss will have to put new rules in place. Because of a person like me, I'm misusing and abusing, so other people now will suffer the consequences because of me. He's driving on the road, then he sees one person that needs to cross, so he stops and he gives the person way. So he shows akhlaq. That person sees that, hey, this person is a Muslim that's giving me way. Automatically they're getting attracted to Islam. So therefore akhlaq has such a winning effect in it all the time. Whoever a person, more than what a person can say, people are looking and they're seeing and they're getting affected. Person is traveling, he's going on an aeroplane, now he's careful that he got other passengers there, he packs his things neatly, he's careful at night if they're sleeping, he doesn't disturb them. They're saying, hey, what a nice person this Muslim is. When he's got food also, he's offering the people around him. They say, this is something else. What we are taught about in the media about Islam and what the Muslims are portraying is completely different. So now a person automatically has been won, he's been won over with akhlaq. So this shows how far reaching akhlaq can go. Person who's been just kind to people in general, and suddenly Allah Pak takes him away. People remember this person, hey, this person was such a kind person, such a nice person. So they start reading for him. So this akhlaq doesn't only bring benefits to a person whilst he's alive in dunya. After he's gone also, that akhlaq also will bring rewards for him. So beautiful this akhlaq is. So therefore we got to bring in the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. We do one more short hadith. And in Nawas ibn Sa'man radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil birri wal ismi. Hazrat Nawas ibn Sa'man radiyallahu anhu, he narrated, he said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to righteousness and with regards to sin. That what is righteousness and what is sin, what is guna, what is good and what is bad. So faqala al-birru husnul khulqi. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave me one answer. He said righteousness, goodness, be doing good is good akhlaq. Finish. Being good is being good, having good akhlaq. Because if you have good akhlaq, then automatically you are fulfilling all those things that you need to do, because deen is all about being good. It's no use a person giving a lot of charity, or a person having a lot of knowledge, or a person being prominent, but he's not using this to display his beautiful character and his beautiful lifestyle in front of people. Because automatically for a short while people will be impressed with him. After that people will fright with this type of person. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was telling him that what is righteousness? Righteousness is good character. And then the second thing that he asked about, what is ist, what is sin, what is guna. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him just a broad principle. Broad principle. مَا حَاكَ فِي صَدْرِكَ وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. That thing that causes doubt in yourself. If I do this, it doesn't seem right, it doesn't seem good. وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And you don't like people must come to know about it. Person was browsing something on his cell phone, he went to the wrong website, or he's reading some article that was not suitable for him to read. Now he's scared. Now if somebody finds my cell phone, they'll get my history and they'll read it. So quickly this person is scared. Now nobody must take his cell phone. Or he's got some chats that are there that are not correct. So now he's scared. Nobody must pick up my phone. So all these things are such that automatically they're creating doubt in you. That's why you don't want anybody to see it. Or a person is doing something wrong. He doesn't want people to come to know about it. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. That this is guna. That you're frightened. When a person reads Quran, he's not shy that somebody sees him reading Quran, because he's not doing anything wrong. Or a person is reading his tahajjud salat, and now somebody comes to know about him reading tahajjud, he doesn't feel embarrassed about it. It's not something, although he doesn't like to show off, but if somebody does come to know about it, he doesn't feel embarrassed. Person is going for Umrah, and people ask him where you're going, he says I'm going for Umrah. He's not embarrassed about it. He's not shy about it, because he hasn't done anything wrong. But a person who's going to the casino, he's going to the cinema, now he tries to cover up, he's not happy about it, automatically you know that this is guna that you're doing. You don't want people to come to know about it, and it's causing doubt in you. So beautifully, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in few words, therefore he was known as Jawami'ul Kalim, that he was an ocean in a teaspoon. So little he would say, but it would cover so much. It just gave a broad principle that all this falls under guna. Therefore, ulama tell us, an easy thing for us to do, especially in this time, is do those things that there's no doubt in it. Like, for example, I mentioned about a person reading Quran, a person reading Salah, a person giving charity, a person being kind to his parents, a person having good akhlaq, there's no doubt in it. And leave out those things that cause doubt. Because those things that cause doubt, all the time, they will worry a person. Because the doubt that is there, it will continuously worry this person. Should I do this? Should I not do it? So completely leave it out. I just mentioned that today is Friday, that we should increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a dream that somebody had recently. His dream that he had, normally we don't mention dreams, it's not something that is supposed to place too much of emphasis upon. But this was a beautiful dream of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So not too long ago, he had a dream. It was a Friday morning that he had a dream about 3 o'clock in the morning. So he had the dream that Maulana came there in his dream and told him that you must prepare for your death in today's Jummah program. So he said in the dream, he went away home, he prepared for Jummah, and he came for Jummah Salah. When he came, Hazrat Maulana was waiting for him. He was waiting with a whole lot of gifts. So he gave him the first gift and told him that give this gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says Maulana met him and went away. So he came in and he sat for the program, and in the Jummah program he felt faint and he went unconscious. That's where his dream ended. So this dream was sent to my Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sahib Tamud Barakatuhum to give an interpretation. So very nice interpretation he gave for it. He said that this preparation for Jummah Salah is something that is very important. It's almost as though a man is preparing for his death. He's having a bath, he's coming early, he's preparing for the time he has to leave this world and move. And then these gifts that you see, these gifts is Durood Sharif. Because Allahumma salli ala Muhammad is a gift, a present for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala Ali Muhammad is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the interpretation of giving one present to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Wa ashabihi wa barik wa salim. Ashabi is all the other sahaba. So then in the dream, Maulana is saying that the other presents are for the other sahaba. So these are showing us, showing the person, and it's a lesson for us all, that on a Friday, don't waste time as far as reading Durood Sharif is concerned. Give as much presence as you can. Presence to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, presence to the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wa ashabihi and the other Sahaba. So they are, this is presence for everyone. We all like to give presents. Who wouldn't like to give a present to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And so easily we can do it just by reading Durood Sharif. So let us increase Durood on a Friday upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And let us also come early for the Jumu'ah Salah. And let us read Surah Kahf. And if we can, the time between Asr and Maghrib is a very Mubarak time. Try and spend as much time as we can in the masjid. Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.